2020 is here, you guys. Who wants to come up here and hide with me? Let me know when 2020 is over. Good morning. From toilet paper issues to the feds buying up stocks, because no one else will buy our stocks anymore, no other countries will buy our debt, to the country having mass riots, to COVID-19, to whether or not we should wear masks or not wear masks, whether or not they're effective or not effective, food shortages, how will these supply lines hold up under immense pressure, and to waterless hurricanes. We've been through quite a lot this year, haven't we? We definitely live in uncertain times. How many of you feel reassured to know what tomorrow will bring? How many of you can raise your hand and absolutely say with certainty that you know life will continue tomorrow? None of us could. We all know that. All right. Robert Metcalf, who co-founded the Ethernet, wrote in 1995 that the Internet will soon go down spectacularly, supernova, and in 1996 will collapse. I believe he failed on that prediction. The Internet is thriving pretty well, I would say. Stephen Shen said the following. He was expressing his concern about the future, and he stated that there's just not many videos that I want to watch. Well, he was a co-founder of YouTube. Later, the following year, he sold YouTube to Google for $1.65 billion. I think there's high demand for videos, wouldn't you say? YouTube helped us through the crisis with live streaming. Eddie Bond, a radio host, didn't think Elvis would make it as a singer when he said this in 1954. Stick to your day job. You're never going to make it as a singer. Yet somehow Elvis still managed to make money even after he died, according to Forbes.com. There is no reason for any individual to have a computer in his own. Back in 1977, Kent Olson, founder of Digital Equipment Corporation. How many of you have a computer in your home? The rest of you just don't want to raise your hands. Or a tablet, or even a phone. Computers in the future may weigh no more than 1.5 tons. That's stated back in 1949 by Popular Mechanics. I don't believe my computer weighs that much. The wireless music box has no imaginable commercial value. Who would pay for a message sent to nobody in particular? David Sarnoff's associates, in response to his urging for investment in the radio in the 1920s. Now, back in the 90s and early 2000s, you would see a lot of radio boxes. Now they're kind of on your phone, so they've progressed. Airplanes are interesting toys, but of no military value. stated by Marshal Ferdinand, who was a French military strategist. Do we use aircraft in the military? Everything that can be invented has been invented. You know, I've thought that myself. I've had the imagination of what else could be invented. Well, people can come up with ideas all the time. That's the beauty of the freedoms that we have. And this was stated by Charles Duell, Commissioner of the U.S. Office of Patents in 1899. I think we've had a couple of inventions since 1899. And Bill Gates, back in 1981, stated 640K ought to be enough for everybody. Now we're pushing over terabytes worth of information that you can have on your computer. I think that was a little bit of a bad prediction there. Isn't it interesting in hindsight how we can see how things were not true? And it makes you wonder if that will continue. Is certainty possible? All these aforementioned individuals did not know the future. They were confident in their thought process. We may laugh at them thinking now as we see how things have turned out. These examples just go to show you no one really knows the future. Otherwise, you would have a bunch of people going and playing the lottery and winning the lottery. If we knew the future, there'd be a lot of people that would be gambling. No one can truly predict what is going to happen except for one being. Uncertainty can be very nerve-wracking to some people. People are often diagnosed with issues because of uncertainty. We have people that are diagnosed with depression because of uncertainty. We have people with anxiety. The list can go on and on with mental illnesses because people don't know how to handle uncertainty. Look at the economy now. Who knows what's going to happen with even more of the stimulus checks going out? We're just continuing to add upon our debt. Does anyone really know what our economy is going to do? Doesn't it seem like hatred is on the rise? Evil is even more prevalent each and every day. It seems like we hear all kinds of bad things going on in the news each and every day. We think, oh man, today, how can it get any worse? Well, it does. How should we act and behave in moments of fear and uncertainty? If you would care to, you could turn to Mark 11. I'll have it up here displayed, so that's up to you. This is where Christ first tells his disciples to follow him into a city where the leaders are threatening to kill him. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 32, states the disciples were afraid. Did the disciples shy away and say, no, we won't go? Or did they follow Christ? Now, when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany, at the moment of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. No one has sat. loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing, loosing the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of your father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Christ knew he was in complete control, didn't he? Christ knew what was going to happen, so he instructed his disciples what to do, didn't he? If Christ didn't want to get captured, Christ would not get captured. We have examples of that. Christ tells his disciples even when they will find a colt tied up in town, he tells them what to say. And the disciples, do they go on their own way, or do they follow Christ's directions to the T? They followed his directions to the T, didn't they? Because they understood that Christ was in control. Even better, we don't really focus much on this, but how many of you have ever had to break in or have ever rode on an unbroken horse or colt or something? You have? Is it very much fun? No. They like to buck and try to get you off. They're not used to that weight on them. They want to get rid of it. Do we have any example here of this colt that had never been rode on, ever bucking Jesus while he was riding on him? No, we don't have example of that. Christ was in control. How many of you have been into like a PBR or some kind of event that shows like cowboys riding on a horse or on a bull? I don't know how they do it, and I would hope that they have really good insurance. I have seen these challenges on Facebook, and usually I'm able to read through them pretty well. The human mind is a wonderful complex organ, you see. It doesn't matter in what order the letters in a word appear. The only important thing is that the first and last letters are in the right place. The rest can be a total mess, and you can still read it without a problem. This is because the human mind does not read every letter by itself, but the word as a whole. How many of you knew that? Marty, Larry. That's why you're able. I guess I never thought about it. When I'm reading, I'm just sight reading, I guess, but that's how you're able to decipher. Your brain works in mysterious ways, doesn't it? Life doesn't always make sense, does it? If we knew exactly how tomorrow would be, or the next week, or the next month, or year, decade, whatever, life would be kind of uneventful, wouldn't it? But those are times that we need to step back and we need to remember that Christ is in control when life doesn't make sense. He is the beginning and the ending. When things in the middle don't make sense, we can rest assured that one day it will make sense and it will become very clear to us. We need to trust in Christ. I am. Two powerful words. John, the 8th chapter, verse 24, Jesus states, "For unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." John, the 8th chapter, verse 58, "Before Abraham was, I am." Christ is sovereign. Christ is in control. The best thing to do in uncertain times is to obey him like his disciples did. Do what he says. Jesus told them to go, they went. Jesus told them to untie the colt, they did. Jesus told them what to say if someone objected, and they did. In times of uncertainty and fear, just like what the disciples did by obeying him, we should also trust and obey him. Hey kids, all the kids out there, do your parents make sense all the time? Wow, only two no's? Guess what? Do you think you should listen to your parents? Yes, that was a nice yes. Hey, parents, do your kids make sense? No, they don't. I can rest assured and tell you that. But that is the reason why we should help train them up, correct? Hey everyone, does everything in the world make sense? No. Who is the author of confusion and chaos? Satan is. Do you think Satan's having his field day right now? I do too. We should be willing to do what he wants us to do, what Christ wants us to do, even if it doesn't make sense. We need to follow what the Bible tells us. We need to go earnestly into prayer and to ask Christ for help and guidance. I went to a car dealership back in my younger years, and I was going to pay in cash for a truck, and I had saved up some money, and when the salesman found out I was going to pay in cash, he was like, "Hey, I'll save you $50. Why don't we just write this invoice out for $1,000 less, and that'll save you some money on taxes here." Isn't it interesting how some people have no morals? People want to cheat the system when they can. They want to entice you. We should imitate Christ, who humbled himself. What did Christ do? He washed his disciples' feet. Christ could have struck everyone down who wanted to put him to death. Christ could have called angels to come save him. He didn't have to go through what he went through for us. How many of you would be willing to sacrifice your life if you knew a lot of people would never accept you, but they would rather go and try to kill you? Who would be willing to die for them? Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. Zechariah foretold of Christ coming into Jerusalem. Christ did not come riding into Jerusalem on a white horse, did he? He came on a colt. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus could have acted like a celebrity. How many of us would like to take the fame instead of being mocked, laughed at? Jesus did not do that. He wanted to be humble. Yes, during this story, they were waving palm branches and placing cloaks on the road before him, but Jesus came to become a servant for man. Christ was trying to be an example and call his disciples to be servants as well. How many of you try to take on a servant attitude? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Are you willing to take up your cross and follow Christ? And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Do you have the servant mentality? Yet it shall not be as some among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. Jesus, easily we could consider him the greatest among all of us. He became a servant. If we want to walk with him, we too must be like a servant. The Jews would bring their best offering to be sacrificed for their sins. However, Christ was a sacrifice that ended all sacrifices. He was the perfect lamb. He not only took away the sins of a family, but he also took away the sins of the whole world, even if they would not accept him. He came to be punished for our sins. He took on our debt. Are we showing appreciation for what he did? Or are we forgetful of that sacrifice since we are too busy for him right now? We've got too much chaos going on that we are distracted with. We don't have time to focus on Christ. Which attitude are you taking today? Several years ago, a national magazine assigned a photographer to take pictures of a forest fire. They told him a small plane would be waiting at the airport to fly him over the fire. The photographer arrived at the airstrip just an hour before sundown. Sure enough, a small Cessna airplane stood waiting. He jumped in with his equipment and shouted, "Let's go!" The pilot, a tense-looking man, turned the plane into the wind, and soon they were in the air, though flying erratically. "Fly over there to the north side of the fire," said the photographer, "and make several low-level passes." "Why?" asked the nervous pilot. "Because I am going to take pictures," yelled the photographer. "I am a photographer, and photographers take pictures." The pilot replied, "You mean you're not the flight instructor?" Life has a lot of uncertainty. You have to be careful who you trust, especially during trying times. We know to trust Christ as he is our Savior and died for us. Follow and obey him. I would like to extend the gospel invitation to any of those out there. You might have strayed away from your path, from the Christ path that he laid down for you. You may have forgotten to study your scriptures, to edify yourself in Christ. Guess what? That's the beauty of the salvation that has been given to you. You have the chance to come forward and ask for help. Ask for forgiveness if you have made a public sin, or if you are needing help and you can't make this walk on your own, and you're needing help from others. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, "Thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more." Come now if you have a matter that needs to be addressed as we stand and sing.